Are your dreams and ambitions gradually draining off into the sand? Well, I want to tell you something. God is better than your dreams.
For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
The Lord Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about a woman's gifts. I explained yesterday that I was not going to be talking about talents or about special interests or genius, but just about the things which are given to all of us who are women. We are born with the gift of femininity. We are born with that standard equipment which tells us that God has made us to be receivers and bearers and carriers and nurturers. We are meant to be servants. We were created to be helpers. Remember that God created Adam first and saw that what Adam needed was a helper. And so he created a woman to be his helper. That defines for me my place in God's universe. We talked about my dear friend, Mrs. Kershaw. Now I want for us to think about the gift of place. We have the gift of femininity, and we also have the gift of place. I told you about Mrs. Kershaw, that dear old widow who worked for us, worked for my mother when she was in her 70s. And now I want to tell you about Miss Cumming. Dear Miss Cumming was my house mother when I was a student at Wheaton College, and she had come from a very wealthy Augusta, Georgia home, one of those beautiful homes with white columns, a home with servants. I don't suppose that Miss Cumming had ever had to do any housework in her life. But when she became a Christian, she was disowned by her family and had to somehow make her living in the world. By being disowned, she was also disinherited from what would have probably been a very comfortable fortune. So Miss Cumming was now my house mother, imagine. What sort of place had she in life? Well, she was raised to believe that she knew. She was raised to be a Southern belle, just to be beautiful and probably idle. Well, now she was out on the street, as it were, having to make her living. And I remember that we became good friends, and we would often tell each other our troubles. Not that she told me anything that was not appropriate to tell me, but I used to pour out my soul to her about my wishing that I had a boyfriend and hoping that the Lord would give me a husband and all that sort of thing. And one day she told me that, well, let me say it the way Miss Cumming said it in her Georgia accent. She called me Betty. I was called Betty by almost everybody up until I married my second husband. So anybody who knew me before I married my second husband calls me Betty. But if you're from Georgia, you don't say Betty, you say Betty. And dear Miss Cumming called me Betty. And she said to me one day, "Oh, Betty, I came to Wheaton to be a spiritual counselor. But here I am carrying mops and toilet paper across the campus." Now, Miss Cumming had never carried mops and toilet paper in her life. The truth was that she was a spiritual counselor for many girls, hundreds of girls, of whom I was one. But believe me, her testimony and the power of her words to me was infinitely increased by the fact that this woman, whose job description certainly did not include carrying mops and toilet paper across the campus, was willing to do that. The fact that she was willing to stoop to do that humble job for which she had not been prepared made her other words to me, her spiritual counseling, far more effective. When I think of the Virgin Mary, I think of a young woman who was an extraordinary woman, but She certainly was not extraordinary in her position, in her talents, or in her gifts, as gifts are usually defined. She was not extraordinary in having cultural advantages, but in the totality of her trust, which means the totality of her commitment. And that extraordinariness is available to every one of us, to you and to me, to men and to women. Surrender, an unconditional turning over to God, all that we have, all that we are, all that we do, and all that we suffer. Mary was a true woman. Therefore, she was a humble woman, acknowledging her creaturehood. She said, "Here I am, your servant, Lord, at your orders, Lord, anything you say." When the angel came to tell her that she had been chosen to be the mother of the Son of God, her response was an instant, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." Not a moment's reflection on herself. She had one supreme aim, which was the glory of God. What is your place in life? Are you in a place which you would not have chosen? Are your dreams and ambitions gradually draining off into the sand? Well, I want to tell you something. God is better than your dreams. God is far better than your dreams, and the will of God ultimately will lead to such joy as you could never have imagined, let alone found in those dreams that you think have crumbled. I think that Mary was a simple woman, simple in the sense of having an inward unity, a single eye. I just had a letter today from a woman asking me, "How can I simplify my life? I need to simplify my life." Mary's life was simple in that it was wholly given to God. Sometimes we don't like the thought of being just simple. We would much rather be complex or deep. We would be flattered if somebody said, you are a very complex person, aren't you? Or you're a very deep person. There is an alluring temptation to be thought of as complicated, deep, unfathomable. But I think Mary was simple. She was anchored, fixed, directed, and steeped in love. Note again the contrast between Eve and Mary. Eve was saying, in effect, "I belong in a higher place than God has put me. I can be like God. I've been cheated." She refused subordination to God's perfect design and plan. And if you and I do that, we are choosing a path of destruction. How can I say this any more plainly? The Bible says, "Happy is the man who hears the word of God and does it." And a reminder again of that verse with which I opened these programs, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching." No good singing about love and talking about, "Oh, how I love Jesus," if we're not doing what he says. "Happy is the man who hears and does. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. His delight is in the law of the Lord." And I want to read to you Mary's song, the song that she sang when God had chosen her to become the mother of the Son of God. She said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Do you sing in thanksgiving to God? Disobedience to God, I know from experience, becomes a terrible burden. And how many of your letters have testified to this? What regrets I read about. How many if-onlys. Some have written to me thanking me for my book Passion and Purity, which is a book about bringing your love life and any unfulfilled desires under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's the love story of Jim Elliot and me, and how God enabled us to wait until marriage for intimacy. And so many of you have said, if only I had that book sooner, if only I'd had it 10 years before. And I just want to mention here in a parenthesis that Joyce Holmes of Corvallis, Oregon, has written an excellent study guide to my book, Passion and Purity. And I mention that just because I do get so many letters from you telling me that you have gotten yourselves into all sorts of sexual messes. But this includes all of us, doesn't it? Whether we've sinned sexually or in whatever way, we have all been disobedient to God. We have gone astray like sheep. We have turned everyone to our own way. And now the thing to do is to turn around and start thanking God for His gifts, His gift of femininity, and we need to pray that the Lord will make us truly feminine, and the gift of His place where He has put us in this life. May we fulfill all His purposes for us in the place which He has chosen.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.